one as interesting as that in a long while. And of course, you know a great deal about your own self, that's for sure.
Sure.
What we'd like to do now is just test that, see if we're getting your voice.
Yeah.
Maybe you tell us your name and just say something so we know.
Well, my name is Robert Leibowitz.
Promotion.
How long have you been in the home, Mr. Leibowitz?
I've been in the home for a year and about a month. About 13 months.
Mr. Leibowitz, would you tell us the story that you told me the other day? How you came from Minsk? And something about your life in Minsk itself, first.
Well, about my life in Minsk, you know, that in the old country, you know, that you don't start to work when you're young, you know. When you come to this country, we start to work pretty young, but down there you run around about 12 years old. When I was the age of 12 coming and 13, I just was 13, bar mitzvah, you know. I come to this country. When I come to this country, it took us about 6 weeks to get here. Because my father was 5 years before, it took him only about 3 weeks, but we had a kind of a ship, you know, a German, the name of the boat was Moravia, kind of a freight boat, and it took us...
You're tapping your foot.
And it took us about, I think we rode on the sea about 17, 18 days, until we reached New York. When I come to New York, you know, I had an uncle there in New York, and he wanted to keep me there. But still, my father was here in Milwaukee, and he wrote, I should come over here. And there was three of us orphans from his first wife, you know. I had a stepmother. And when I was in Milwaukee, you know, I was only a week time till I started to work. Well, I was working in a tailor shop for $1.25 a week. And when I worked, and I couldn't talk nothing, and then the fella ran the tailor shop that time was on 6th Street, there was another man, he says if the other man wouldn't come to work on the machine, you know, in a tailor shop in the machine, he wanted $15, but if somebody else would have come, I had to leave my place. And so another man come, and I went out in the country to work. I was nothing but a kid in Watertown, Wisconsin. And I worked there with the old man, peddled a little, you know, with the basket. Until I peddled about a year, then we moved back to Milwaukee. Then I went out and peddled and worked for the old man for a long time, till I was about 19, 20 years old. At that time, all we were in, we had to get back to the old man, you know. They ain't like today, you know. Today, a youngster work, whatever earns, you know, he keeps it for himself. Or there's a rule, they got to go to school that age, you know. That time, you could start to work even 10 years old or 12 years old, you know. There was no law against it or nothing, you know. Then I peddled for a long time, peddling the country. Then I started to work in the city here about 35 years ago, 40. And I peddled till I got in the home. the first place, I didn't want to go in the home, you know. But till I got used to it, I got a family. They were nice to me. They take me out every Sunday, and I go down to visit. I go down to Sheboygan, and I got some more relation here in Milwaukee. And I get along pretty nice. I can kick nothing but the home. And if a fella is quiet, you know, he can get along anywhere. They like me awful well here.
Mr. Leibowitz, when were you born?
I think if I'm 72 years old, when will that be? Of course, I never knew my right age, you know. I figure I'm younger, but even my father didn't know my age. Or didn't want to tell me. But I think I'm about 72. How old I got to be if it's 72? I think I was born in 78, wasn't I?
1883.
Yeah, that's what I figure, yeah.
Did you live in Minsk all of your childhood until you were 13 years old?
Yeah, I didn't wait out nowhere. No, nothing. I lived in a small town near Minsk, where they call it. That's just the same as the state of Wisconsin. That's Minsk, Ibernia.
What was the name of the town, dude?
Kapule.
What did your father do in...
In the whole country? Well, I didn't know my father very well. When I went away, I must have been about 6 years old. I think he was a butcher. His father was a butcher too, you know.
And what year, what did you do in Minsk?
I didn't do nothing. I quit school a year before we went to this country and I was running around, you know.
Did your mother support your stepmother's?
Well, my father used to send money from this country over there to support us, you know. I was with two sisters. They're still alive. One of them lives here in Milwaukee and the other one lives in New York.
In what year did you come to the United States?
I was 13 when I come here. What year could it be?
1895,
1896. Yeah. Just about. I think it was before the Spanish-American War, you know. It was a couple of years before that. I couldn't hardly...
Why did you happen to come to America? Why to America?
Well, you know how in the old country is, you know. My father he went away to this country 5 years before. And he thought he could make a living here and settle down, so we rode to America.
You say you quit school when you were 11 years old?
In the old country, yeah. But in the old country, we ain't got no school. That's Hebrew school, you know what I mean? You got to go from year to year, the same thing. The Old Testament, you know, the pounding in your head, and you go from year to year, year to year.
It wasn't a public school you taught reading and writing
in? No, they didn't. They were the small town, you know, they didn't have no public schools.
Did you land in New York when you came to...
I landed in New York and we stayed about a week or two, then we come to this country. I had an uncle there in New York, you know, we visited him. And he wanted us, we should stay there. And our stepmother should go back to Milwaukee, but... She was afraid to come alone without the children, you know.
How did you get from New York to Milwaukee?
We got by train.
Did that take very long?
Must have took about 2 days, about the same as now.
And where was your father settled in Milwaukee when you came?
Well, he was spending most of the time in the country around Oconomowoc, Watertown. He was pretty acquainted there.
But you lived in Milwaukee?
I lived in Milwaukee, then we lived in the country, Watertown.
Well, how did you get a job? Did you have to falsify your age, tell a lie about your age?
Well, you know, if you got a stepmother and you always got trouble. You don't like her and she don't like you, you know, and that's the way.
No.
But
what?
By that time it was slavery, you know what I mean? They start to work when you was 12, 13 years old and work 10 hours a day and don't earn nothing.
Now you were, you peddled junk when you first came here?
Oh, I peddled dry goods.
Dry goods.
That was years ago, they had fine brothers here. I think some of his sons are here, on East Water Street, they had a big dry goods store. Used to buy the dry goods and I started to peddle junk after I was about 17 or 18, you know. Then I bought, the old man bought me a horse and wagon and I peddled.
And then you peddled fruit?
No, junk.
Later you peddled fruit?
Yeah, later, around about 35 years ago, you know, or 40.
Now you told me the other day about the Peddlers Union.
Yeah.
Would you tell me that story again?
Well, I was one of the, what they call, there was seven of us that organized the union, you know. And we started, before it was a club, and we started a peddler union, and they're existing since, you know. They got a nice name.
How long ago was that?
Oh, then must have been, I must have been about 38 or 40 years ago.
And you were an officer of that club?
I was an officer there about 15, 20 years.
Now what was the purpose of the Peddlers Union?
Well, the purpose was of the Peddler Union to make their life easier, you know. Like we went out, you know, and license was high at the time. You had to have $75 license for a double team. Well, at that time we called it a double team. A truck, it was just like a double. And $45 was licensed for a single, you know. And then we fought, the Goldberg's son was an easy Goldberg. You ever know him? Pedri was their uncle, the one got killed. Well, he was our lawyer and we fought the license down till $30 and $45 for a double. And nowadays they ain't got many peddlers, you know. They got away, the old peddlers died out and they ain't many young fellas. They got stores, fruit store, but them years they didn't have any.
What was the life of a peddler like, Mr. Leibowitz, as you travel from town to town?
Till I got away from there, and then I quit junk.
Well, when you went that far west, you must have had a pretty big truck to carry your material there.
No, that time we didn't have no trucks. We had horses, you know. Double team, they called two horses, you know. Mm-hmm. When I had a truck, I was settling in town, peddling in Milwaukee. In the spring of a year, I used to go out in the country for about a month or so, around by the farmers, you know.
What?
Selling apples and trading off our chickens, you know.
Were you peddling fruit at Pardesheen, or what?
No, I was peddling junk at the time.
And did you haul everything all the way back here?
No, we used to load carloads. At that time, there was no trucks, you know. We used to make a car load and load it all in the cars and used to send it down to Milwaukee.
It's a railroad car.
Yeah. Well, it's a big railroad on Prairie Sheen. That's right on the Mississippi River.
Was there good money in peddling?
Well, that time, if you made a couple hundred dollars a season, it was a lot of money, you know. They ain't like, no, if you make a couple thousand, you know.
Or would you go in groups to work in community like Prairie du Chien, or would you go there by yourself?
No, I went there with my father, you know. The old man went with me. We stood there about 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I was a pretty lively kid, you know, and I got acquainted there, and we used to stay about 2 weeks. I mean about 2 months. And peddled around there when in mountains down there, they call them bluffs and the hills there. But now I suppose it changed. I wasn't there for a long time. They got.
Well, you mainly did junk buying rather than peddling, is that right?
Huh?
You didn't do any selling, you did buying.
Just buying, yeah.
Yeah.
Trading up once in a while, I had a little dragons. But I done buying the most. And I had, supposing if I peddled this spring, next fall I used to come and stay there too for about a month.
Were there many peddlers?
Well, we didn't see many over there, but...
Did you know many of the peddlers yourself?
Not when I knew the fella by the name Marcus. He lived in Columbus.
Did you ever know Sal Levitan?
Sal, I heard about him. He was... He used to peddle with a pack. I heard Sal Levitan talk. He belongs with me in the same lodge, Odd Feller, you know. And he was telling about how he peddled around Madison there, how he got acquainted and he got in a politician, you know, with La Follette, you know. He worked for La Follette, and that time he got elected on you might see on La Follette's ticket. But I seen him many times in Madison. I talked to him, this all happened to him.
Were there many peddlers who stayed in Milwaukee itself, who never went out into the country?
Quite a few, you know. And Madison, I was in Madison, I peddled. Madison quite a hit. There was Seneca brothers there in Madison. No, they're all dead, I suppose, all of the sons. Then they had quite a few of them.
Well, when you worked in a town like Prairie du Chien, you would work the surrounding country too? How far would you go?
Well, I used to work at the outside 14 miles or 18 miles. That time, you know, we didn't care for the hours. We used to work. I was a tough kid, you know. I was about 18. I used to go 14 miles up and then pedal when I pedaled all around, you know. And then 40 miles back the same day, you know. I used to make about 40 miles. It was quite a trip for the horses, you know. Well, the man was stronger at the time and the horses were different horses, you know. They could stand quite a little.
Did you ever find any restrictions against peddlers?
Well, sometimes you found, you know. I didn't feel you take that time in Prairie du Chien, there was a lot of French there and Bohemian Catholics. They used to bother the old man a little, but me, they never bother much.
You mean they would bother him or would...
Bother him, you know how it is. He wore a little beard, so the... You know how...
But they actually didn't bother him.
Me... So. Me, they didn't bother at all. I was a kid at the time.
Uh-huh.
But I used to take the old man's part, you know what I mean?
They would actually molest him?
Yeah. And they had a Jewish marshal at that time in Prairie du Chien. Well, he got married to a Bohemian girl, you know. And his boys, they was raised up and they was pretty bad, you know. You know what I mean? They used to bother the old man and everything.
What do they do? Tease him?
Tease him. Just simply tease him. And the old man.
Or anything like
and
that?
And the old man was, you know, hot-tempered, you know.
How about laws? Were there any laws against peddlers?
Well, no, there was no laws against, but we had a couple of the fellers arrested there, and all the people was very nice to me, to us, in Prairie du Chien, you know. Then we had a Jewish man, years ago, that he lived in Prairie du Chien, he had a store. I think that he was, his name was Yaskilke or something. But his son-in-law, I forgot his name. He had a general store there in Prairie du Chien.
How long ago, 100 years ago?
Oh, it must be about 45 years ago.
45 years ago.
Or 48.
What about the religious life here in Milwaukee? You belong to the Andrei Lubovich?
I belonged it for a while. To tell you the truth, I ain't that I ain't strong religious. You can be a Jew, you know, and do favors. I mean, you can be a man and good heart to the people, and you don't have to be so strong religious.
Were you were very religious in
the whole country? No.
Were most of the people?
Down there, the most of the people are religious, yeah, in small towns, sure.
Mm-hmm. When you came to Milwaukee,
yeah,
what kind of religious life did they have here?
Well, that when we came to Milwaukee, there wasn't very many Jews in Milwaukee, you know.
About how many would you say?
I should say it was about, I'd say about 1,000 families or 500. They all lived around in one section around Wheat Street, 3rd and 4th and 5th and 6th. And if you went out on 15th Street, you wouldn't find it. There wasn't a Jew living there. And about, you take around 35th and Center, where they got the, that's a kind of a big sister home there. You know what I mean? 35th and Center. Yes. There's a big monastery there, I mean, for sisters. And that time, you know, right around there was farmers already, you know.
What were the boundaries of the city when you came here?
What?
What were the boundaries of the city when you came here in 1895?
You mean how many population?
No, what were the boundaries? How far out did the city go?
I think the city went, you take North Milwaukee, we got up as far as Capitol Drive, you know, there was farmers already. Nine, 10, 11th, and then there was a lot of farmers till you got up to North Milwaukee, you know. And farther west, you went out on 35th Street. I remember I got in a hole there with a horse and wagon when I was peddling fruit already, and the horse sunk in, you know. They was making new sewers. And then I went and I called up the fire department. They come and the horse finally, the fellas, there was a lot of fellas coming from work, you know. So they helped me pull out the wagon. When the firemen came there was nothing to pull, you know, everything was pulled out. But it was new lots, you know, and all dugged up, you know, for shoes and everything. There was just like country, like around the, here where they got that park, 35th and,
Sherman Park.
Sherman Boulevard, I mean around that park there, where that's...
Washington Park.
No, Sherman Boulevard, way out, north. That's a small park there. That's, on 35th and Borlite. There's a park there, the Sherman Park, I don't know whatever they called it. Down there was nothing, after the park was nothing but farmers already.
How far south did the city go?
South, they went out as far as I can remember. They had a Polish Catholic home there. No, it's all built up for, that was putting the city limits.
But most of the Jews lived around 3rd and 4th and Belize.
That was all settled. You take around 6th Street, from Vliet up to Cherry, it was all hanging around there, you know, like a Saturday or Sunday, they come together, it was around there.
What about the Jews who lived in the small communities like Watertown, Columbus? Did they have much of a religious life, do you think?
Well, they used to work on Saturday. I mean, they hardly just made a living, you know. If they saved up $100 or $200 a year, was a lot of money. Because everything was cheap there at the time.
Were they mostly Orthodox Jews?
Yeah, the most of them.
How did you happen to join the Odd Fellows?
Well, I joined the Odd Fellow here about 25 years ago in Milwaukee.
This was after you came back and settled
in
Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you have any activities at the Jewish Center?
Never.
In your travels throughout the state, did you find many Jewish communities or synagogues?
Well, there was quite a, there was a little synagogue in La Crosse, like La Crosse. Then that's the only one, you know, they had a little.
When was the one in La Crosse that you visited?
That was, we lived in La Crosse for 1 year. There was a fella by the name Goldish that time had a big junk shop. And he used to bring up some of his countrymen that used to peddle for him. But he was very nice.
What kind of a synagogue was it in La Crosse? Orthodox?
Yeah.
Was it Reformed?
No, no.
Also?
Orthodox.
What year would that be? What year would that be?
That would be, we moved to La Crosse, I think, La Crosse. About 40 years ago, no more than that. About 42 or 3 years ago, we lived in La Crosse. I was pretty acquainted. I used to peddle around there. You take Prairie du Chien, it's only about 90 miles from La Crosse. That lays on the Mississippi River, you know.
Did you know the Hirschheimer family in La Crosse?
Who?
Hirschheimer.
In the city, I wasn't much acquainted. I've been there quite a few times, but...
How large a Jewish community was it at the time you lived there?
In La Crosse?
Mm-hmm.
To tell you the truth, that I peddled one winter around there with a couple of horses. I think it must have been about 40, 50 Jewish families there.
And it was an Orthodox temple?
Yeah. They had a lot of, some of them had stores and some of it, you know.
Did you know Mr. Levenstein?
In La Crosse. I think I heard of him. Yeah, there was a lot of them came after that, you know, that I...
Were there any other parts of the state that you went to?
Oh, I was pretty well acquainted to... In Wisconsin State, I must have been in every town of Wisconsin. I'm pretty well acquainted.
Did you ever go up to Green Bay?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know the Jewish community?
Yeah, I knew that time. What was his name? Old time. I used to have a big junk shop in Green Bay.
Jake Rosenberg?
No, not Rosenberg. His name was.
Ben Abrams?
That's a long time already. Because I went to Green Bay one time with a horse and wagon, and it got in the spring of a year, and it got a snowstorm. I stood up about a week. And he was, that was a nice place, you know. He, whatever a Jewish fella come there, his name lays, I couldn't hardly think his name.
When you went to a community and you didn't know anybody, did you usually find a Jewish family?
You find a Jewish family, sure. You take like in Muscadet, a little town close to Prairie du Chien. They had a Jewish, the fella who was peddling there, and after a while he opened a little store, and then he got to be, when his sons got big, he spread it out. They was running awful big. Then they had a big store. Warshawski was the name. They had a big store in Portage, Wisconsin. And one time they was pretty rich, you know. But the way I heard last time that the one of them sitting in jail or something, I don't know about.
Well, Muscadet is about 30 miles from Prairie du Chien. You must have been gone a couple of days on your trip there.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. You know, when I used, in the spring of a year, I used to sometimes go down with the drive of a horse and wagon. We used to go down when the road was muddy, you know. We used to go down the bottom road. I mean, we used to go to Sac City, Sac, and Springin, Lone Rock, and Muscat, all the towns along the river. The road was dry already. And later around, we used to take the hill road, going around by Mount Horp and all that, and coming around that way to Madison, you know.
Would you often be, how many miles a day could you go?
Well, at that time with the horse, you know, we didn't chase. When you have to drive horses about a week, you couldn't chase them. If you chase them one day, the next day, they're all in. I used to make an average, I think, about 30 miles a day.
30 miles a day. Did you ever have to camp out?
Well, a lot of times. The first time we went to Prairie du Chien, it was the spring of a year, and we camped out right there near the city. It must have been about 7-8 miles. We stood there on a Sunday, right around right on the road, on the side of the road. Of course, we got up the farmer, we got some milk and stuff to eat, and we had oats and buy a little hay till over Sunday, then we went to Prairie du Chien.
Did you ever encounter any Indians in your travels? Any experience with the Indians in those days?
Well, there wasn't many. You see, you take around there, there ain't many Indians. The only Indians I found later around,
DeSoto, just north of Prairie du Chien?
No, that's
quite a settlement along the river. Where
you know what I mean? That's Eagle River around there.
Oh, yeah, way up
down there, way around. I pedaled down there, but we used to ship carloads of stuff, fruit out. I pedaled in Eagle River, and I pedaled in a little town on this side, and we used to find a lot of Indian settlements around there. You take around Green Bay and on Seymour, they used to have Indians out around there.
Did you know the Hamels in Appleton, Clintonville?
I ain't much Clinton. I was only once, my horse died. You mean the Hamels? They used to be in horse business? Oh yeah, I know them well. I bought a horse from them one time. They was German Jews. Yeah, I know.
Did you ever encounter any gypsies?
Well, there were some.
But there were some in the state, huh?
Yeah, I used to see them once in a while. That I didn't have nothing to do with them.
What kind of horses did you use?
Just common horses, but that time horses was pretty high, about $75, $100 a horse, you know. When we got through with them, you know, they was pretty well run down, you know.
When you started peddling many years ago, did you notice a difference between the horses you used then and the horses you used later?
Well, I claim that the horses them years was much stronger, just the same as the man. They claim that the older generation are more stronger, like the young generation they got now. It was more tougher, you know. They could stand more the road.
What about the horse you bought from the Hamels?
Well, that time I came from Berlin, you know, to go around there, and I came down to a little town that's near Appleton. And my horse died. And that hotel keeper was a very nice man. And he let me bury the horse, you know. And then I went to Appleton and bought by the Hamel bought as a horse.
Now, Mr. Leibowitz, do you want to continue that story about the horse you bought from Jake Hamill and...
Well, I bought from Jake Hamill a horse. That time, I think I paid $20 for it. But as one of the lumber, the big horses. And I told him, I says, Mr. Hamill, that's all the money I got. And then he sold me the horse. Of course, the horse was, after a while, he started to be, he knew that he used to kick or something. But the money that I spent was pretty cheap, you know.
Now, I mentioned before the fact that the Hamels introduced the heavy horse to the...
They used to have it. When I was coming in their stable, they had about 40, 50 horses, big horses. They weighed about 1,800. They used to deliver them all to the lumber mills and used to sell all around up north, you know. I found many places where they sold horses.
Do you know where the lumber industry used before they used the heavy horses?
Well, I was in that country around Eagle River and another little small town, I think Sumka, and they used to use oxen. Well, that time when you passed by the lumber mill, they had like around Marshfield, about 10 miles from Marshfield, I peddled around there too. I peddled fish around there. You come down to a lumber mill and they had piles of logs piled up as high as a 10-story building. Used to roll it around with oxen. And after a while they start to use horses. They used to log with us, what they call log, you know. They drag out the logs to the river, you know. Places where they went by a river, and a lot of places they was loading them by rail.
When did they start using the horses, do you know?
I think about 50 years ago they had some horses too already. They had oxen and horses.
Did you travel up to Sheboygan or Manitowoc?
Up north, I wasn't.
How about south, to Racine or Kenosha?
Well, I used to ship out carloads of stuff in Racine. I used to sell a lot of stuff by the carload, you know.
Did you know any
Jews? Mean, I know the Schwartz there, in IU. I know that time, I think it was, there was a baker shop, a Jew's baker shop years ago there. I don't know the name, I forgot. There was quite a few Jews families in Racine. I think that Sheboygan is pretty as big as Racine, but Racine, it seems to me, is more lively, more of a Jewish community, more. I go to Sheboygan quite often. I got a nephew there, Wasserman.
In Milwaukee, do you remember much about the Andrzej Lubavitch, where you went to the congregation?
Well, that I wasn't much of a going to temple very much when I was young.
Were the services all in Hebrew?
Yeah.
Did the rabbi give a sermon?
The rabbi, yeah, I remember quite a few rabbis that had that before this one, Rabbi Schulzen.
Who were some of the rabbis that you remember?
I think it was one of them, Rabbi Taylor. Then they had another one before Rabbi Schulzen. I couldn't tell his name. My brother-in-law was vice president there, Hoffman. He died about 6 years ago, so.
Do you remember Rabbi Scheinfeld?
Yes, I remember him quite a... He was a very good rabbi. If you give him a couple of dollars, he says, you might need the money yourself, he says. You would never. No, this you don't find many rabbis who do that. Whatever you give them, they don't give you no change at all.
When the rabbi gave a sermon, did he give a sermon in English?
You mean Rabbi Scheinfeld?
Yeah.
In Jewish. Never given English.
Do you remember much about the German Jews who lived in Milwaukee?
Well, I used to go to the temple quite a few, you know, like Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. They wouldn't leave us in there, but they used to have a kind of a gallery. What they were, all the people that come there, over there in the temple to visit, they could sit on the gallery. Then they had girls were singing there and the organ was playing. That time they had that big temple they had on Broadway.
Do you remember any of the rabbis?
I couldn't know. The one they had that temple on 10th and Wisconsin, they had one of them. Then they had the one they built, no, that new one. I remember when they built that.
Do you remember anything in particular about the religious life of the community? Would you say it was a very religious community?
Well, some of them was very religious, but the same as no. Of course, there was more religious as there are now. But you know, if you had to work for a living, you used to work on Saturday. And we have good many here in the home, you know, that they ain't so strong religious. When they want to hide themselves in the room and smoke, you know.
Was it difficult to be religious and be a peddler at the same time?
Well, you couldn't, if you was a peddler at that time, you couldn't be religious. Because you had to work, like Saturday, you had to work 6 days a week, you know. You had to work on Saturday. You couldn't make a living. Maybe you could out of work 5 days. They had some peddlers in Milwaukee worked only 5 days. But the most of the time, you know, even my father was a kind of religious, but he worked on Saturday too, you know.
Did you, when you went out, did you try to find a place that served only kosher food?
No, I didn't. I used to eat in the country, I think. Wasn't particularly. On the start, when I was come to this country, for a while I wouldn't eat, but after a while I eat everything. And like today, you know, I ain't so strong religious. Because here in the home we have kosher everything.
Is there anything you remember about the social life in Milwaukee? Was there anything?
Well, the social life of Milwaukee, you know, at that time, that we used to go out. I remember when I had a horse and wagon here, and I hitched up my horse and wagon, I put seats, and we used to get about 10 couples, boys and girls, you know, we used to drive down to like Sherwood today. That time was nothing but woods. Used to have a picnic in the woods, and Pep's Park, I think it was where the Lake Park is now, or further. They used to charge us 10 cents, so we didn't want to pay the 10 cents. We used to jump over the fence, you know.
Is there anything you remember about any of the other communities that you visited, about the Jewish communities?
Not very much. At that time, you know, that time they didn't have no, old age pension. That time we used to get relief. The ones needed it, I mean, that the German Jews used to have a kind of a, what they call relief, you know. Used to help out families, the ones that didn't have enough or couldn't earn enough to make a living, they used to help them out.
Was there much help to the through the Hebrew Relief Association?
You mean the
local?
local, I don't think it was. Of course, the most of the German Jews had a lot of money, you know. Some of them had factories and everything. There was...
Were there many poor people in the community?
Quite a few. Quite a few.
What kind of help did they give? The money?
They used to help them with eating stuff and a little money, everything. They relieve. Like they had a few years ago, they had the relief, you know, what people couldn't get no work, you know, there was on their leave, they used to get flour and stuff, they used to help them quite a little, and there wasn't many to help. There was a few Jews here, you know, that needed help.
And you said that was common practice among the German Jews. Didn't the other nationalities have relief setups at first?
I think that the German Jews had at first. He was in Milwaukee about 75 or 100 years ago, some of them was. Because I know there's some folks here in the home that they are here in Milwaukee for the last, they are putting you for the last 70 years, they're putting you born in this country. Like a Mrs. Denner, you know. I remember when your father had a store in the country, Michael was his name. He had a store about 60 years ago in Ripon, Princeton, around there. He had the store, you know. It was old settlers.
Well, did the welfare practices develop individually among the other groups, or were they just an extension of the German group?
Well, there was an extension. There was kind of, you know, they thought that there are more than we, you know. They done a lot of relief stuff, but still they wanted the credit, you know what I mean?
Wasn't there a Bicker Phylum?
No, that time there wasn't. Maybe after a while it was a Bicker Phylum.
How about a Hyperpedesia?
Well, I remember when they was here in Milwaukee, they didn't have the Jewish funeral parlor. When the somebody died, you know, they had to take him on where the Lutherische cemetery is now. They had to take him over there. If he was out of town, they had to put a man on watch over there. They didn't have no Jewish undertaker. And the Russians, what they call the Russian Jews, they didn't have no cemetery at the time.